Evening. Every few months, my work makes me change my password to log into my computer, and I type in my password a lot, like 20 times a day probably. I had to change my password this past Monday, and I wish I counted, but it seems like every time that I've been trying to log into my computer, when I walk out of the room and come back, I type the wrong password. I type the old one, the one that I've been typing for like months and months. And I'm finally getting a little better today. I think today's day 3 on the new password, because most of the time I'll type half the wrong one and then remember and then delete it and type the new one. And you may have experienced something similar, like in January, how many times did you write 2025 instead of 2026? You just write what you're practiced, what you've been practicing writing for a whole year. And there's this reality that when you do practice something, what you repeat becomes automatic, what you rehearse becomes almost like a reflex, and what you practice becomes a pattern. And my password pattern was pretty strong because I typed my old password hundreds of times before that. So I'd like to, this is a picture of a path through the woods. This path wasn't paved, it was a path on a trail that I'd hiked, I don't know, probably sometime last year. You can see the path worn in just from people walking over that time and time again, and eventually that path became the easiest way to go. And I think there's some principles here worth considering with our spiritual walk. What we repeatedly think about forms pathways in our mind. The habits we form and what we practice mentally today becomes easier tomorrow. And I think we know this intuitively. We all have tendencies to walk down the same path in response to different stimuli. We respond in the same way the more we do it throughout our lives. In Romans, the 12th chapter, in verse 1, Paul writes, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." So this passage starts with Paul urging by the mercies of God that we present ourselves this living sacrifice. And it's by the mercies of God. It's rooted in what God has done for us. But looking specifically at verse 2, we see this contrast between conformity with the world and being transformed. And this transformation occurs by the renewing of our mind. And that's where it occurs in the mind. And we see many places in the Bible that the direction of our mind sets the directions of our actions and what we do. And conformity with the world tends to just happen passively. It's your mind following the same path and direction as everyone else around you in the world. But this transformation is intentional. It's allowing ourselves to be open to the renewal that happens because God is at work in us. If we do nothing, we just tend to drift. If we do nothing, we conform to the world, but this renewal requires intention. And the power to change comes from God, but it's the direction of your attention, where your focus is, what you do with your time and your effort. That's your responsibility, my responsibility. It's for us to set that direction and then allow God to work in us. So the question isn't whether our mind is being shaped. I think it is. We're all blazing our own paths in our mind day by day, but the question is, by what? Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." Everything flows from our heart, from our inner person. What you rehearse in your heart shows up in your words. What you dwell on eventually shapes your actions in your decisions. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, "We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete." Verse 5, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We shouldn't be allowing the world to hold our attention all day, every day, to captivate our minds, to be what we think about, to allow it to shape the paths in our life. But we should take our thoughts captive, examine them, direct them, train them if needed, because what we practice ends up becoming a pattern in our lives. And we can look at Jesus when he was tempted in the wilderness as an example of this. He took the thoughts captive. He quoted scripture. He had an argument for what he was tempted with. So I want to talk quickly about a couple of examples here. The Israelites in Numbers 14 are an example of this. So here we have the Israelites. They're physically delivered from Egypt. They just witnessed the plagues, miracles, crossing of the Red Sea, but when they spied out the land, they lost faith. And this is the reaction in Numbers 14. Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in the presence of all the assembly of the congregation of the sons of Israel. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." So here we have these Israelites. They'd been delivered from the land of Egypt, but what their mind was set on was the past. They remembered the food, the stability of Egypt. They forgot the bondage. They were just afraid of what was in front of them. They were walking toward the promised land, but mentally they were still back in Egypt. They didn't turn their trust over to God to shape a new path for them. But they had this worldly attitude. Worldly wisdom said there's no chance. We can't take them. They're big. They're strong. They have all these cities. We can't take them. And here we see this contrast with Moses and Aaron falling on their faces, and then Joshua and Caleb and their example, who had the proper attitude. They trusted in the Lord. They set their mind on God, and they had faith in God. They didn't give in to this worldly wisdom around them, but they trusted in God. And I know we're studying in the book of Hebrews in the auditorium class here how there were Hebrew Christians who were tempted to go back to what was familiar under the old law. It's another example of tempting to want to go back to our old paths. And the argument in Hebrews was for the Hebrew Christians to remain faithful so they don't miss out. So how can we guard against this in our own lives? Colossians 3, read a few more verses here. Colossians 3, verse 1 through 4, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." So we need to keep our attention in the correct place, and that's on Christ. We're to set our minds on the things above, not on the things here on this earth. And if we're seeking the things above, everything else will follow. It doesn't mean we're never going to stumble and then occasionally fall back to those old paths, perhaps. But if we keep our mind set on Christ, we'll keep growing in that direction, and our life will be hidden with Christ in God. Hebrews 12 says, verses 1 and 2, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." God is merciful to us and working in us. And it's our responsibility to set our direction, and there's no better direction we can set than fixing our eyes on Jesus and striving each day to walk down that path. And finally, the last verse here, Philippians 4, gives us a few things we may consider. Philippians 4, 8. "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So this gives us some categories of thought where our minds should be. We should be striving to make these things the paths that our minds go down. As we act in this way again and again, you have options what you think about. You always do, and choose what's true over what's false, what's honorable, right, pure, lovely. We should be dwelling there and return there and building that path, because what we practice becomes the pattern in our lives. And if we do that, then the God of peace will be with us. So I ask you a couple of questions, same question I ask myself. What dominates my thinking? What do I rehearse mentally? What do I allow into my heart? Do I focus each day on the things that are above? Some of these I'm still working on, but I hope and pray that all of us continue to grow each day and allow God to work in us, that we may live lives that are pleasing to him. God designed us with the capacity to change, but more than that, he sent his son to make that change possible. And through Jesus, we're no longer stuck in our old paths. Through Jesus, we're not bound to Egypt. Through Jesus, we're not defined by our past lives or the wilderness of our former paths and our lives. If you've never been baptized into Christ, then tonight you can begin a new path. That opportunity is available to you at this time. If you are a Christian and you've drifted, if you've found your mind wandering back to old paths, old ways, the Lord is merciful. He calls you back. Repent, return, fix your eyes on Jesus. If you need prayers or encouragement or obedience to the gospel, I encourage you to come as we stand and sing.